Technorama episode 332 for February 8, 2012. Customer referrals, welcome.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I lost my phrase for this part of the show. I know I left it around here somewhere.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for February 8th, 2012. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am excited to be back on the show because it feels like we haven't done this forever.
Should we try the geek phrase of the week again?
The geek phrase of the week. You know what? If you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have had something.
You've had 2 weeks to think about it. Yeah. Okay, think about it when you're driving and you jot those down.
You caught me off guard.
Oh, boy.
Wait, we have space herpes? Do you know what that's from?
It ain't Superman.
No, Ice Pirates.
Oh, okay. Wow. Appreciate that. That's awesome. And that gives you an idea what Technorama is all about. Coming up in this episode, we have Apollo 11 contingency plan. You can read the classics while you're on the loo, as the Brits say. And reality imitates podcasts. All that and more coming up right after this.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with AstronomyCast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Cain, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
This is Dr. Michio Kaku, professor of theoretical physics, author of the new book, Physics of the Impossible. Yet, I can't even figure out Technorama.
Welcome back. We wanted to let you know that every week we do this show live on Google Plus as a hangout. If you're around on Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern time or whatever time that is in your part of the world, you can do the GMT plus and minus math. It might be tomorrow for all we know.
That's right.
But this is podcasting.
By the way, we were preempted by the Super Bowl.
Right. So technically we are recording this a night off. Or no, we didn't have the night off. We're doing. Never mind. It just
we're doing it at night, and we're off.
Right, we're always off. It's like when your food is off.
What?
Happy birthday goes out to wonderful listeners Jan Scott on February 8th from Yorkshire, UK. Yay. Also on February 8th, Blake Noble in Pittsburgh, PA. February 9th, podcast Mike Wills from Minnesota. Yay. Zach Agulian from Appleton on the 10th. Hey, I just saw him on Sunday, and I'll see him again next Sunday. Also on February 10th, Drace, or Cherie from North Dakota. I hope that's North Dakota and not like, what else could that stand for? Anyway, never mind.
No duh.
Valentine's Day, we have Douglas E. Welch from Career Opportunities Podcast. Go check him out. Oh. Good stuff. And also on Valentine's Day, February 14th, Andrew back in Illinois. Happy birthday to everybody. If it's your birthday this week, we'd like to give you a happy birthday. Imagine some music here. That's great.
I'm dancing.
And if it's not your birthday, happy unbirthday, as they say in Alice in Wonderland. But you can get your name on the birthday calendar by going to chuckchat.com/wiki or click on the wiki on the Technorama link. You know what? If you don't know how to get to Technorama, Google it. and click I'm Feeling Lucky.
You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Click it. We come up the top. We're like the top 4 out of 5 links on Technorama. I think that's awesome.
It's halftime and wait to the second half.
And we will give you a shout out on your birthday. Hope to see you around on Sunday nights, and you can watch us live do this show without all the post production. You'd be surprised how much goes in. Not really. Yeah. We do a lot of it live anyway.
It's ugly.
Hey, you're the one who wanted the webcams.
What? Okay, maybe.
On this day in history for February 8th, 2012. This is the 39th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 326 days remaining in 2012. It was on this date in 1879 that Sanford Fleming first proposes adoption of Universal Standard Time at a meeting of the Royal Canadian Institute.
And D.W. Griffith's controversial film The Birth of a Nation premieres in Los Angeles on this date in 1915.
February 8, 1922, President Warren G. Harding introduces the first radio to the White House. For the first 3 weeks, everyone thought it was some kind of radiator.
How do I turn the heat up on this thing? After 84 days in space, the crew of Skylab 4, the last crew to visit the American space station Skylab, returns to Earth on this date in 1974.
And 16 years ago today, the massive internet collaboration, 24 Hours in Cyberspace, takes place. Happy birthday goes out on this date to French astronomer Jacques Cassini, born today in 1677.
And also born on this date in 1700, mathematician Daniel Bernoulli.
French author Jules Verne would be celebrating his 184th birthday today.
Russian chemist Dmitry Mendeleev was born today in 1834.
And born today in 1906, American physicist and inventor Chester Carlson.
Writer John Grisham turns 57 today.
Bassist for the band Spock's Beard. You ever heard of that band?
I have.
I haven't heard of it, but when I saw that, I had to include it. Dave Miros turns 56.
And finally, actor Gary Coleman would have been 44 had he not passed away in 2010.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for February 8th, 2012.
Good news, everyone!
The first story up in the news is if Newt Gingrich, you know, he's been proposing this moon base.
Yeah, well, I
have our doubts whether we will actually see that.
A moon base on the moon? Air quotes.
Right. Well, according to this article in IO9, which has a lovely picture of a lady in some kind of crazy helmet with a bottle of Lestoil, the sexist 60s ad claims women will clean everything, even on the moon. Now, I don't know about you, but when I picture life on Newt Gingrich's future moon colony, I picture women and men, long nights spent hunched over a microscope, or working in the oxygen processing center where they convert moon water to breathable air, you know, stuff like that. Well, not according to this Lestoil ad from the 1960s, where men and women pose serenely with cleaning products.
Of course.
So it appears that women will be cleaning even on the moon.
How sexist is that to have women come? Let's clean the moon.
Wait a minute. Wasn't like Rosie the Robot supposed to be around by then?
Maybe.
She can do the cleaning for us.
Yes, Mr. George Jetson. I'm sorry, I had nothing. That's the best I can do.
No, leave the Rosie impersonations. Yeah. Now, this is science that I can...
get behind?
I tried not to say it, and I didn't say it. You did.
Saw that one coming.
Better than the science you can get into.
Let's make like a horse and hit the trail.
E. coli is a color-coded designer bacteria made from E. coli, and apparently this bacteria can help diagnose what ails you: salmonella, or colorectal cancer, or, you know, once you do your business, you just look in the pooper and you say, hey, it's green, I'm clean. Some other mnemonic like that.
And apparently it'll rainbow your colon.
If you have a retrovirus, it's red. If it's a stomach ulcer, it's blue. If it's worms, it's green. You know, something like that.
What if it comes out like multicolor? You're in trouble.
Then you've been watching too much Teletubbies. Or Power Rangers or something. I don't know.
Who ate the Smurf?
It's blue. I wondered where Papa Smurf went.
Well, you know, what is it they take, like when they go to do cancer treatments or something like that, they give them like
polyps?
Iodine. No, iodine or something like that so that you bury them. No, what is that? Oh, yeah, they do. I don't know.
I thought that's what the cat did in the litter box, bury them.
Bury them. This is kind of like that, where you take the supplement and it kind of makes your...
Right.
Yeah.
I think this is handy.
There's a joke in there somewhere, too.
Think of all the diagnoses you could do by yourself at home. You wouldn't need a doctor to tell you what's wrong. You just go get it fixed.
I like how they have the samples in a nice white case.
Samples. Compare yours to the picture above. Free sample cups available at the counter.
Here, pull up a stool. Take a look.
Can't you just picture that cheesy 50s music? With a commercial?
Yeah.
Ding! Yeah. Hey, look. Now mom and dad know he's got cancer. Everybody's happy.
Yay. Oh, yeah, let's move along because I'm tired of the poop jokes.
Well, then you're going to run out of humor on this show.
Hacks and strange stories.
I found this and it just reminded me as I read this of, if you've listened to Comedy Forecast and you remember a few years ago when he did the virtual table of random things. Right. The idea is modeled after something in the real world. Clinton was at work and he noticed there's this table and it had random things like half a G.I. Joe.
A slice of cheese.
One bookend. And these things would just mysteriously appear and disappear. Like somebody actually needed half a Christmas ornament, you know, just to complete their set. I don't know. It was gone and other things would appear. So he did this virtually on his podcast and people would call in and leave things on the virtual table of random things.
Only 3.5 paper clips.
Well, somebody has come up with this thing called the Swap-O-Matic, all right?
Okay.
And the idea is that you don't use money for this vending machine. Vending machines would be a lot more user-friendly if they didn't always demand money. Maybe I don't have $1.25 for that can of soda. Maybe I've got 75 cents and 4 cigarettes. That seems like a fair trade, right?
Sure. Well,
with the Swap-O-Matic, I can now find out. The Swap-O-Matic is a Brooklyn-based art project designed to remind us that reusing and recycling can be just as much fun as buying something new. It works on a credit system. Donating an item earns you credit, receiving an item costs you credit, and swapping is credit neutral. Swapping is done by removing an item, then replacing it with yours, and then entering your email address for confirmation. So, you know, obviously you can keep track of who you are with a user ID or something. So it's this, looks like kind of the old Vendomats where you pull out a sandwich or a piece of pie or something.
Yeah,
but
right.
In there is, you know, a pair of shoes or a book or a, you know, coffee mug, things of that nature. I'm just curious as to how it evaluates the things you're putting in and taking out.
Well, what if they have a webcam in there and, you know, somebody can just go look at it? I don't know.
So I take out a pair of shoes and put in a paper clip.
Yeah. It's a box of paper clips.
But I thought this would be perfect. You could now put a real machine with a flat panel display to keep track of all this stuff for Clinton's table. Instead of a table out in the middle of nowhere, he could have a machine in the corner, the Swap-O-Matic.
But it's not going to work if you do what they're doing in that video. They're taking out the same things and putting the same things back in. there's your flaw.
You don't earn credit that way.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's pretty cool, but you are limited, I guess, to the size of the cubes, right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you're not going to stick a whole...
car?
You know, cooler. Yeah, car.
I'm trying to shove my bike in here. How do I...
You need the Dahan folding bike.
Yeah.
We should have put this one next to our poop story.
Oh, great.
Yeah, from Geeks Are Sexy and probably a few other sites that I come across, eBay starts this at $200. This is Moby Dick on rolls and rolls of toilet paper.
$200?
Apparently, you know, how do you print on toilet paper?
That's a load of crap.
I say so.
Wow, it's at $320 now.
What? It's only for the peons. So many jokes, so little time.
Okay, look, I guess if you have to get people to read the classics, you should put it somewhere where they're going to possibly get some of it, read it.
Honey, are you going to... I'll be out soon.
Why is it so expensive? Is this printed on the original Gutenberg press? Gutenberg
the
press?
Gutenberg.
Yeah.
Gutenberg toilet paper.
It looks like it's been hand-rolled.
It is like, kind of a little off-center, probably because they had to print it and put it back on. Well, you remember they used to have the crossword puzzles on toilet paper. For the person who has everything.
My luck, I would stop at like chapter 5, and then when I go back in, we're already at chapter 8, so I missed something.
Have you read Moby Dick? Have you ever read the whole thing?
I've seen a cartoon.
No, go read the whole thing sometime. It's actually a good book.
I'm sure it is. I'm just saying.
It's a classic.
Well, I'll go buy me some toilet paper and I can do it. What I was saying was,
dude,
look, I stop at chapter six. I go back in and we're already moved up to 8 because the other members in the family.
So, don't use dad's special toilet paper.
Yeah. Use this roll over here. Then
it's
have
not
company.
Worth the paper it's then, printed on.
You know, the women got to use all the toilet paper. You're going to miss
half
the
book.
And then
the cat comes in and starts unrolling it.
Yeah. Oh, Snowball, why did you...
Bad idea written all over it.
No, Moby Dick was written all over it.
I think our rim shot's going to get worn out here. This comes to us from Gizmodo. An ATM gives out a dead mouse. Yes, you know the economy is really going to heck when ATMs start to pay bank customers with dead rodents, which is exactly what happened to this guy.
How in the world did he get in there? I guess he probably like jumped in, his little door closed.
He got cash and a dead Mickey. His name is Golem Hafesi. He was visiting his daughter in Erzboda Umeå in the north of Sweden. And I apologize for all the Swedish people out there because I can't pronounce anything Swedish. He wanted to take out 700 Swedish kroner. I can pronounce kroner. And at the ATM at the co-op forum.
Yeah. Erzbursti or Murda.
One of the shops, I'll translate for Craig. One of the shops was a famous Swedish supermarket chain. I got my 700 kroner, but I never got the receipt. At the same time, I saw a cord that was jamming the ATM slot.
Oh, no.
Yep, you know where this is going. But yeah. Hafesi didn't at the time. He thought somebody may be trying to do something illegal. So he pulled on the little cord, and then he realized it was the mouse's tail. He ran into the supermarket's customer service people and asked for help. They told him that the ATM was not their responsibility, but the guys in charge of the shopping carts offered their help. One of them finally was able to take out the whole mouse. He took out the mouse. His head was intact, although a little bit bloody. And then he got his receipt. It said $200 and one mouse.
You know, I think I would have passed on the receipt as long as I had the money. I didn't need a receipt that bad.
Mr. Hafesi then went over to the Pepsi machine and tried to insert the mouse.
Why is it not taking this thing?
Takes it out, folds it a little bit on the, you know, how you flatten them out.
Flatten them out. On the edge of a table.
Right. Works Poor every thing. Time.
Poor thing. I guess the cat was trying to withdraw money earlier.
My guess is he got in somewhere else.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe
the
back.
Side and inside the building and then crawled up into the machinery and got spit out this way. Probably didn't. That's a testament to how small those little critters can actually get.
See, I see some cat probably was frantically looking for a bank card so it could use the machine when it saw the tail hanging out.
Does ATM stand for auto transfer mouse?
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Auto transfer mouse.
Can you think of ATM that stands for anything? Of course, the MS is stand for mouse.
Automatic teller machine. Or you mean something else?
It ends with mouse.
Oh.
M for mouse. M-O-U-S-E. Never mind. Let's move on. You have no imagination tonight, and you don't appreciate good... Well, you do appreciate good humor. If there's any around here, you won't know it. Did I just insult myself?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I'm rubber. You're glue. next on Tech Drama News.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
All right, well, in the Remember When segment, we have an interesting bit of literature that showed up. You know, Apollo 11 was the first manned mission to the moon. They landed on the moon and came back. But just in case they didn't, President Richard Nixon prepared a speech in case they died. And it's published here. So, you know, in the event of a disaster, you have to have contingency plan. It's kind of like the Super Bowl this last weekend. At the last minute, they burned the Patriots' hats, right? Mm-hmm. Well, in the event of a moon disaster, this is what he would have read. Fate has ordained that the men who went to the moon to explore in peace will stay on the moon to rest in peace. These brave men, Neil Armstrong, Edwin Aldrin, know that there is no hope for their recovery, but they also know there is hope for mankind in their sacrifice.
Well, you know what's funny, that Terry Thomas is in the event of moon disasters. Like, what if the moon blew up or something? It's not like in the event of, you know, a capsule disaster.
Prior to the president's statement, the president should telephone each of the widows-to-be. And then he goes and reads on. It says, they will be mourned by their families and friends. They will be mourned by the nation. They will be mourned by the people of the world. They will be mourned by the Mother Earth that dared send two of her sons into the unknown. In their exploration, they stirred the people of the world to feel as one. In their sacrifice, they bind more tightly the brotherhood of man. In ancient days, men looked at stars and saw their heroes in the constellation. In modern times, we do much the same, but our heroes are epic men of flesh and blood. Others will follow and surely find their way home. Man's search will not be denied. But these men were the first, and they will remain the foremost in our hearts. For every human being who looks up at the moon and in the nights to come will know that there is some corner of another world that is forever mankind. And they'll think of the bones that are up there. Afterwards, it says, at this point, when NASA ends communication with the men, a clergyman should adopt the same procedure as a burial at sea, the commending their souls to the deepest of the deep, concluding with the Lord's Prayer.
Hey, I like the message that says, prior to the president's statement, is at the end of the whole thing.
Yeah. Oops. Please read all instructions before proceeding with the test.
Crap, who writes this stuff?
Oh, well.
So, yeah, pretty interesting that you know, you don't think of that at the time. You know, it was such a huge success, but, you know, things could have turned out completely differently.
Hey, it's like when the Challenger blew up. You know, I'm sure they had some statement, contingency statement, right, I should say. So I bet they did, because it seems like they had this nice, well-written note about it from the president pretty quickly.
I'm not so sure about that one, because, you know, by that time, shuttle launches had become routine. People weren't thinking about it. And they may have had one in the wings in case something happened.
Well, news sites all the time have, you know, obits for people that are still alive that are teetering, you know?
Teetering.
Well,
place your bets. Round and round goes the roulette wheel.
Just saying, you know, but because then they can just flip the switch and everybody's got an obit for whomever, you know, their name. I'm not going to mention any
names. You know, that's actually not that uncommon. A lot of people write their own before they die.
Really?
Yeah. My parents have theirs written and it's in a safe. I'm like the backup caretaker out of our kids. Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with the Media Corner.
On that happy note.
Now, Technorama with Chuck and Craig. I just laugh my head off at these guys. I'll always download their show. When I first listened, I thought, who needs to listen to this? But then I caught the bug. Now, I'm a convert and really do appreciate the time and quality that these two guys put into their podcast. It makes traveling time so much more enjoyable, and I learn from it. It's got to be good.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Hey, Greg, do you remember the story we ran a while back? It might have been a couple of years now, about the guy who turned his living room into, like, the bridge of the Enterprise?
Why, yes, Chuck, I do.
Because we remember everything we talk about. That's for certain not.
Boy, howdy, do I.
Tony Alline spent a decade converting his living room in his Leicestershire, I hope I'm saying that right, UK, from an ordinary living room into the bridge of the starship Voyager. This apparently was another guy who turned something into Star Trek. And now he's had to dismantle it all.
What?
Yes, Alan and his wife, Georgiana, are going through a divorce. And while the lives in the apartment, while he lives in the apartment, she owns it. And he's been paying the mortgage. His soon-to-be ex-wife decided to sell the apartment, forcing him to have to dismantle it. For 10 years, he's lovingly transformed his 500-square-foot apartment into a fully realized Trek fan's dream by handcrafting all the furnishings and adding molded walls, a high-tech bathroom, voice-activated blue lighting, air conditioning, and command console, and even his very own awesome transporter room. This is his quote. To say I'm gutted is an understatement. It's my life's work, and it looks like it's going into a skip. I admit there were tears, he says. But he could rebuild it. Could he rebuild it at another residence? He could, but it will cost him a bit to start over again. The price tag would be £100,000, which is $155,000 US.
So this is a different dude than the other guy that was, or is this the same guy that we talked about before?
No, I think this is a different one. Somebody made the Bridge of the Enterprise is what we talked about.
Because I remember, if I'm not mistaken, and maybe this is a terrible theme between this, but didn't another guy get a divorce, and when he was kind of depressed, he started doing this to his living room and ended up with a house that looked like this. So I'm thinking.
So he didn't, this guy didn't learn.
So this lesson learned, don't build a TNG styled living room in your house.
Unless you own it.
Yeah, and you're single.
And you live in Vegas.
The picture looks great, though. I want to see more pictures. It looks really good.
That's too bad. Sorry, dude.
Let's go in halfers.
And move to the UK.
Yeah.
All right, what have you found?
Yeah, if you go over to the How to Geek, they had a chart, and it was the Heroes and Villains D&D alignment chart, but they have superheroes in the thing. So it's lawful good, there's Superman. Neutral good, there's Batman. Chaotic good, that's, what's his name? Rorschach. Then there's lawful neutral, the Judge Dredd. And then, or I can't read them all. Hold on a second, let me view the large version.
Spider-Man is chaotic neutral?
That's not Spider-Man, that's Deadpool.
Oh, okay. I can't see. These are too small for my bad 47-year-old eyes.
Don't give yourself any more years than you
need. Because the dude in the bottom middle looks like Skeletor.
No. Oh, good Lord. So first of all, lawful evil, there's Lex Luthor. Then there's neutral evil, and it has Dr. Doom.
Okay, then, sorry.
And chaotic evil, of course, is the Joker. But it has some comments on there, too. I'll let you go and check it out. But it's pretty cool.
Okay, my eyes really need help now. Wait, this looks like Superman. Am I right?
Yeah, and speaking of Superman, this video started making the rounds the other day. This is from Max Landis. He's his dad was a director, and Landis, excuse me, and he's a writer as well, and he wrote that movie Chronicles that just came out about the teenagers that ended up with superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
That was supposedly the big winner this week. Anyway, he wrote that. So if you watch this, he's actually recounting the the storyline of the death of Superman and how that all came about. It's really a cool little watch because they have actors in it. They have Elijah Wood in it.
How'd they get him to do that?
Simon Pegg's in it too. His dad was a director. He knows these people, you know.
Cool.
But anyway, go watch this. Now, there is language in it, so kind of keep that in mind when you go to watch it at work. I mean,
French language, Russian.
Yes, French.
Turkish.
The proverbial French. How about that?
Proverbial we. OUI.
So be sure to watch that. Be discretionary how you watch that. But yeah, it's very entertaining. And I was like, hey, that's Simon Pegg. And then there's Elijah Wood. And I didn't read the description first. And I kept going, why does that guy look familiar? Oh, I know him. It's Frodo. So anyway.
No!
Go check it out. It's pretty cool.
I will.
You do that.
15-16 minutes long. Okay, I'll watch it right after we're done with this. Gizmodo came up with a picture of an ad in a newspaper, printed newspaper, said, with manual or automatic transmission, the front-wheel drive Fiesta sedan comes with a sedan or hatchback. Sedan trim comprise the S, SE, or SEL. The hatchback comes as an SE or SES. Click here to compare them. You think somebody did a copy and paste off a website somewhere?
Yeah, it's printed in the paper. That's funny. How do you know it's not electronic paper?
You're right. I'm clicking it with my finger. Nothing's happening. Newspapers are really feeling the crunch of the internet as competition, so they're trying to keep up by putting links in their newspaper, I guess. That's all I'm going to say about that one.
Somebody didn't tell them about QR codes.
You got some announcement or observation?
Yeah, well, you know, they have Star Trek on TNG is coming out on Blu-ray, right? Starting this fall is season one.
Yeah.
Well, they have that teaser disc that's available on Amazon for like $15, and it has three episodes of TNG on Blu-ray. And so I thought, well, I don't know. I'm not really big on buying sampler discs kind of like that, but I figure, what the heck, you know, it's got three good episodes. Well, there's Encounter at Farpoint, then it's got The Inner Light and Sins of the Father. So I said, okay, I'll buy it. So I checked it out, and I loved it. It's amazing in some ways when you're watching it. It's almost like watching it again for the first time, I should say, because you can see the threads in the uniforms and all that. But if you think back how you've watched it, and you said that you had a lot of episodes on VHS, or you see them on TV, and it's all been on standard def over broadcast TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but imagine what it looks like now when they went back on the film, cleaned it up, and imported that. It's amazing to see, especially the Enterprise. It doesn't look like a gray, smooth ship. It's got some detail to it.
I really hope that BBC America buys a set, because their HD channel, they're still broadcasting the original low def, and it really looks crummy when you put it on a big screen TV.
I know. And you know, the other thing I noticed was that even Will Wheaton's angst against Kern was enhanced.
And Marina Sirtis's acting is sharper.
So anyway, I thought it was worth it. It really got me excited about, or let me put it this way, it got me considering purchasing the DVD set, because I hadn't really thought I was going to do much of that. Yeah, because, you know, a lot of that's on Netflix and some other, and Amazon, and I'm not sure, but I don't know, TNG, kind of like TOS, it has a special place in my heart, so I'm considering actually buying them. What about you?
I might. I generally don't buy too many TV show DVDs anymore.
But it's Star Trek.
I know. I buy the movies.
By the way.
All right, moving on to the Geek Library. Have you ever read a research paper?
No.
It's almost as exciting as a legal document, and I'm sure you've read some of those.
Yes. Not directed towards me, but I have read some.
Right. There are certain phrases in a research paper that we've all heard of, but allow me to translate. When you see a phrase like, a definite trend is evident, it really means the data are practically meaningless. While it has not been possible to provide definite answers to the question, translated means, an unsuccessful experiment, but I still hope to get published, typical results are shown, is translated into, this is the prettiest graph.
By the way, you can use these in your next presentation.
Right. Thanks are due to Joe Blotz for assistance with the experiment and to Cindy Adams for valuable discussions. Mr. Blotz did all the work and Ms. Adams explained to me what it meant. A highly significant area for exploratory study really means a totally useless topic selected by my committee. In my experience means once.
Yeah.
In case after case means twice, because it's case after case.
I like that one, the careful analysis of a tame data, which means that three pages of notes were obliterated when I knocked over a glass of beer. that's funny.
It is generally believed that means a couple others think so too. Correct within an order of magnitude just means wrong.
Hey, it is hoped that this study will stimulate further investigations in this field.
I quit.
Nice.
See, you too can write a research paper.
Yeah.
In three easy steps. Now, I did want to remind, we didn't have a show last week, and as I was putting together all the show notes and things, I noticed that February 1st is actually Change Your Password Day. And had this show gone out on time, I would have announced that. But we're saved to the end of this show as a PSA.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I have so many passwords on banking systems and work and, you know, just... there's so many of them, I got to have a database for all these things. So I'm making February Change the Password Month. And then as I come across these sites, which I often do during the course of a month, you know, one to print out a paycheck stub for Donna and get her to put into Quicken and whatnot, I was like, hey, I'm going to change that one now. So I'm going through and changing these things. And I got to tell you, some of these have been sitting around the old same password for years.
Yeah, since their inception. Well, hey, well, what do you use for a password database, may I ask?
I use KeePass.
Oh, do you?
And combined with Dropbox, you can put it in your public folder and then use it on a mobile device and keep everything in sync. Mm-hmm. So that's handy. I know that Stu Helm is he's a developer, I believe.
I think he does support. He works for 1Pass. 1Pass.
1Pass, yep. There's also several other utilities out there to keep track of this stuff. So do yourself a favor, get something like that, because if you're like me, and I know I am, I can never remember passwords, especially the infrequently used ones that you go back every 6 months and go, oh, I need a statement from, you know, whatever it is, or you're on a different computer and this one usually logs you in because you click the remember me thing. But then you go over to the other one and you can't remember your password.
That's right.
So a lot of fun
I personally use LastPass. I did use KeePass. I like it. I love it. But I use LastPass because it's a little more convenient being in the browser and on my phone.
I changed my Apple ID password. Holy catfish. Man, oh man. My iPad comes up and goes, please change your password for iMessenger. Please change your password for iPhoto.
Oh, yeah.
Please change your password. It's like, it's the same password. Can't you get your your Apple IDs together? It's like, why does Apple want me to enter my password like four times? That brings us to the end of the show. We appreciate giving us your support in listening, mainly. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can call the listener line 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear about you. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear to you. I don't know. I got my prepositional phrases all mixed up. Visit the website, www.chuckchat.com. Or, you know, we really, really appreciate it. Every month, I forget to tell you this, but we love those people who do the monthly micropayments. They just keep the system funded. I mean, if it weren't for you, we would have been probably
keep
out on the streets.
Keep the wheels greased.
Years ago. If you're considering it, there are easy-to-use PayPal buttons on the website. Thank you very much for everybody who's doing that. If you're not so inclined as to pay money, stop by the iTunes Music Store. We haven't seen a review in a while. Maybe there's a reason for that, but...
yeah.
Write nice things, write crappy things. It's free country. Do what you like. Special thanks to Mad Mar for providing great blog content during the week. Thank you to everybody who sent us links during this past week. If you spot an interesting story, again, send it to technorama@chuckchat.com. Thanks for those who joined us on the Hangout, and we hope to see you again next week.
Next year. Wow.
Okay. And especially thank you for downloading and listening. This show is a proud member of start that over. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. If you're getting the show the old-fashioned way by clicking on the website, consider subscribing to get it automatically delivered to you for free. Drop either one of us an email if you need instructions on how to do that. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama, and as always, binary high five.
101. Hey, Chuck, do you know about Technorama?